The following is a message from Pastor Jeff Mann. For more information about James River Church, please visit us at jamesriverchurch.com.
So today I'm going to talk about the grace of giving. In 2 Corinthians 8, verse 7, the Apostle Paul's writing to the church in Corinth, and he says to them, just as you excel in everything, and then he lists different graces that God gives us. He says, in faith, in speech, in knowledge, in complete earnestness, and in your love for us, see that you also excel in this grace of giving. Now, how many of you want to excel in all those things mentioned there? I do. You know, I want to excel in faith. You know, when a person is excelling in faith, God's power flows through them to do really amazing things, right? I want to excel in anointed speech. I want to have my words be a tool that God flows through supernaturally to accomplish his will. I want to excel in the knowledge of God. It talks there, it says in knowledge. I want to know him. I want to understand him. I want to know his mysteries and have the ability to explain them to others in a way that causes their eyes to be opened, where they get it and fall in love with him, because to see him is to love him. He's absolutely beautiful. He's amazing. I want to excel in the knowledge of God. I want to excel in complete earnestness. Oh, I love that phrase. That's like sincere heart of worship. I want to be sincerely devoted with all my being to Jesus. But you know what? I want to excel in my love for the saints. That's what Paul says. You excel also in your love for us. I want to love my spiritual leaders, my brothers and sisters in the Lord. I want to excel in that. But I also, Paul says, just as you go after and you pursue growing and excelling in all these different graces, says there's a grace that God has made available to the church called giving. And he says, I want you to be intentional about excelling in this grace of giving. Here's what grace is. When grace in this context, God gives us different graces. And what these graces are is they are a means by which we cooperate with God so that we become a vessel, a conduit, where his supernatural power flows through us to accomplish beautiful and amazing things so that his will is done on the earth. So we're familiar with the grace called prayer, right? God invented this thing called prayer because he wanted us to be partners with him in advancing his kingdom on the earth, right? And to have fellowship with him and worship him and all that kind of stuff. So he created this avenue or grace called prayer, and we say these weak words in agreement with what God says. And when we declare these words or we petition him, whatever form of prayer we use, when we pray, it seems weak. We say these little weak words, but God releases like thunderous power through our weak words and produces something awesome, right? There's the grace called fasting. It's another grace that God's made available in the scriptures where we go without food or we abstain from some pleasure for a time in order to seek God and encounter him in a more focused way. And it's like, how does that work? Yet, you know what? Throughout the Old and the New Testament, God has released his power in miraculous ways through people agreeing with him through the grace of fasting. You guys following me? Many other graces. One of the graces God has made available is giving. God releases his power through our giving, through our generosity to accomplish amazing things. You know, in the Bible, God promises blessing and honor to those who are generous. You know that? You know why? Do you know that God himself is generous and he calls us to be like him? God is extravagantly generous. And he's like, I want you to come into the dignity of who I am and embrace my nature in you. And when you choose to operate in generosity, you are in agreement with my nature. Now, our culture is filled with the complete opposite spirit of generosity, which is greed, covetousness. And can I tell you what also comes along with that, the opposite spirit of generosity? The fear of lack. The fear of lack. All of that's the opposite spirit of generosity. And when you and I make a conscious choice to be generous, What we do is we break free from the pull of our culture. Because when you're generous, it's the cure for the fear of lack. When you're giving generously, somebody's like, I can barely live on 100%. How can I give 10% plus offerings in addition to that? But when we obey, we exhibit trust in God as our provider, which goes beyond what our paycheck says. God can provide in so many different ways, including through our paycheck, right? And what we do is we put our faith in the Lord as our provider, and then he comes through and it sets us free from the fear of lack. So same with greed, you know, but I really want, you know, what I could do with this 10%. You know, I could buy a new wardrobe. I could buy the new thing that I want, whatever your thing is. I could go to this place. I could go out to this restaurant. And it's like when we choose instead to obey the Lord and operate in a generous spirit, it's like we free ourselves from that covetous spirit, right? So God is wise. And the Bible says in Proverbs 22, verse 9, that a generous man will himself be blessed, for he shares his food with the poor. Then in Proverbs 11, it says, one man gives freely, yet gains even more. Now that is contradictory to the wisdom of the world, isn't it? And then it says, another withholds unduly, but comes to poverty. That's completely contradictory to the wisdom of the world. But God's wisdom is a higher wisdom. And then he says, a generous man will prosper. Everybody say that with me. A generous man will prosper. Do you believe that? Yeah? So do you want to prosper? Yes, so do I. So what do you need to do then? Who do you need to become to prosper? Generous, right? He says, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed. Now, I'm just going to boast in the Lord for a little bit. God has blessed us as a church. I mean, honestly, for years and years, we've always been financially blessed as a church. We went through a season, 2009, I think it was, where things were tight for a few months. But even in that, it was just, you know, whatever it was. I don't know if it was warfare or God testing our hearts or both and. But either way, God brought us through and we ended up more blessed in the end. And so, but we are extremely blessed as a church. And I was so encouraged. You guys are great givers. Honestly, I think close to 100% of those of you who are regular attenders here tithe and give offerings. And that is amazing. I mean, it should be normal, but it's actually pretty rare, at least in America. I'm thankful to the Lord for that, but you guys have done a good job believing this and obeying this. So I was encouraged. We'd had our finance team meeting from our church a few weeks ago with Patty and Autumn and myself. And we were just kind of reviewing 2014, the finances, setting some new goals. We do that every year for 2015. And you know, last year that God enabled us to give nearly $20,000 to missions. Isn't that cool? Our little church, I'm like, that is so awesome. I was so encouraged by that, you know. We just do it. But then when I saw the number, I was like, wow, like that added up on us. I didn't even realize, but I love it. But here's the deal. We gave away nearly $20,000 to missions, but we ended 2014 with a nearly $20,000 surplus. In other words, we brought in 19,000 more than we gave out. Isn't in expenditures and our bills and stuff like that. So we're like, man, we got a surplus now. So we have things we're saving for and different things like that. But we just made a decision as a team. We're like, hey, we're tithing. We're giving away 10% of our income automatically. Let's up it to 15. And so this year we're setting that as our goal is now we're giving away 15% we're tithing 15% instead of 10%. So I'm like, praise God. He enabled us to do that. Isn't that awesome? We were able to, missionaries and different ministries that we support. You guys, do you remember Brittany Bragg? You guys remember her? Her husband, Mao, I don't know if you've met him. But they are missionaries in Spain, and we are supporting them. We took them on this year. So these are new missionaries. We're giving them $100 a month is our goal. And so super excited about that. You guys remember Dan and Kathy Wunro? Okay, they're doing a marriage retreat for us coming up here in end of July, early August. We've been giving them $50 a month for years, but we doubled it. We're able to give them $100 a month now. So I'm really excited about that. Anyway, the Plus One Guidance Center, right? Here in town, it just opened a few weeks ago, and a crisis pregnancy center. I'm so excited for that. We've been just praying for no more abortions in here on South Dakota. We want Beetle County to be an abortion-free zone forever. That's the will of God. And so I'm so thankful for this place. But we started, we're like, hey, let's give them $50 a month. And so we're doing that now. We're giving them $50 a month just to support them and honor them. Anyway, and other things too. And so anyway, I just wanted to encourage you guys, and because as I was looking at the scripture, a generous man will himself be blessed. I thought, you know what? God has proven himself that to be true in my own life, but even in our church or corporately together. So glory to God. So I just want to talk about two passages of scripture this morning about the grace of giving. And it's just how to get started in the grace of giving. This is an introductory message to this gift. Malachi chapter 3 is the first one. You guys are probably totally familiar with these verses. I've preached them over the years, but I like this subject and I'm talking about it again. Will a man rob God? Yet you rob me, but you ask, how do we rob you? God's answer, in tithes and in offerings. Because God had commanded his covenant people that the first 10% of everything they bring in was devoted to the Lord, and they were to give it to the Lord, right? And so they weren't obeying him with the tithes. And then there were other offerings they would give in addition to that, but they just knew the first 10% was devoted to the Lord, and then beyond that, that was between them and God what they decided to give. But they weren't doing it. They had caved in to the spirit of the age around them and were operating in covetousness and greed and all this kind of stuff. And God looked at him and says, your disobedience to my command in this area is actually robbing from me what is mine. Now, it's like, how could that be? Lord, isn't this my money to do with what I want? And the biblical answer is no. You know, everything we have belongs to the Lord, right? Everything. Yes, 2 days ago, I was in the Tamarack Apartments. I was just ministering to some people, and there was this cute little girl there. She's probably 8 years old. And I was talking to her about the Lord, sharing a Bible story with her, and she was playing. She was so excited because she just got this new Barbie doll. And I'm like, oh, that's so awesome. And we were talking about the Lord, and she said something about the Barbie doll. I can't know. She brought the subject up. And I was like, yeah. She said something like, is this mine or is this God's? It was something like that. I said, well, actually, that's a great question. I said, actually, that's the Lord's Barbie doll. But he likes to share. He's generous. And so he likes to share things with us because he knows you playing with that Barbie, it brings you happiness. And he likes doing things to make you happy because he loves you. And he's your father. And she's like, okay, that's really good. But you know, that's the thing with all of our stuff. Everything is the Lord's. You know, my car, this microphone, the clothes that I'm wearing, everything I have belongs to the Lord is what the Bible says. And sometimes the question, you know, that good believers ask, you know, they're like, okay, Lord, I want to serve you. Just give me a plan. What do you want me to do with my money? And that's actually the wrong question. It's a right spirit, but it's a wrong question. The right question is, Lord, what do you want me to do with all your money? That's the right perspective. And so we already know from the scriptures what to do. He's already given us clear instructions where the first 10% goes. Now it's just, great, I know what to do with the tithe. Now, what do I do with the other 90% of your money? And God has different plans for different people. It's not our place to judge others by the convictions he put in our heart. Everybody will give an account to God, right? But we are a steward or a manager of his possessions. That's truly who we are. And so God says, you're robbing me by not giving this because you're stewarding my money. And I told you to put this 10% over here and you're not doing it. You're ripping me off. Anyway. How many of you know God commands us to tithe? It's not because he needs our money. It's not our money anyway. It's his. He could take it all back in a heartbeat, no problem, right? He doesn't need our money. Why does God command us to give? Yes, that's a true answer. He wants to bless us. Can I tell you another reason? He wants to bless us, but more than that, he wants to, there's a lot of things he does through the grace of giving. He gives these graces for our benefit, not just for his. Because when we give, it forces us to acknowledge that he is our provider. And what it does is it forces us to confront our own fear of lack. And to, by faith, put actions to our faith and acknowledge the Lord is my provider. You're going to take care of me. That's what happens. It's for our own good that he wants us to give. Also, it gives us an avenue to come into a spirit of generosity and get free from covetousness. There's so many wonderful things that God does inside of our hearts when we obey this. So he's like, there all these wonderful things that I want to get done in your heart and through you and blessing other people. He's like, these are so important in our relationship for us to grow closer together, for you to become the person I've created you to be. I'm going to actually make this a command because I want to make sure that there's no skirting around this thing for you. I want you to obey me in this. I'm going to make this a requirement so that I can release my grace in your heart and do all these wonderful things in you and through you and other people. Does that make sense? Okay. He says, you are under a curse, the whole nation of you, because you are robbing me. Verse 10, bring the whole tithe into the storehouse that there may be food in my house. So the storehouse is God's house, right? A lot of people are like, what do I do with my tithe? Where do I take it? You give it to God's house, wherever, you know. So when I think of that for my own life, I think, you know, where is the place where I'm getting fed? It's my own church, right? And so I give my tithe to my local church, and offerings are, a tithe means a tenth part. That's literally the translation of the word tithe. 10%, the first 10% of everything we have, it's already dedicated. It belongs to the Lord, right? And that goes to your storehouse, your local church is what I do with that. And offerings are anything that I give in addition to that initial 10%, okay? And so the tithe, God's already spoken, it belongs to me, it goes, you know, to your the place you're getting fed, your storehouse, God's house. The offering, though, the offerings, you choose the amount between you and the Lord. There's a liberty there. Most of the time, although there are times where God will speak directly, and he'll say, give $500 to this person on this day. You know, he may do something like that, and then you have to obey, you know what I mean? But most of the time, you get to choose what you give in the offerings, and you get to choose where you give them. So my wife and I, we give to the Lord. One of the things we love to give to is my mom. We send her a check every month just to bless my mom because she's a single mama, and she's working hard, and she's a blessing. And the Bible says, honor your parents. And so we're like, we want to honor my mother. Now, I'm giving that to my mom, but do you know what? I'm actually giving that to the Lord. It honors the Lord. So offerings, you have the liberty to be able to choose where you sow that. He says, bring the whole tithe into my storehouse that there may be food in my house. Test me in this, says the Lord Almighty, and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that you will not have room enough for it. This is ridiculous promise. Think of this terminology. Think about this. The floodgates of heaven. Where is a place in the Bible where throwing open the floodgates of heaven was used before? Noah. The flood. Last time when God was referring to raining on the earth and he threw open the floodgates of heaven, so much rain came down. It flooded the entire earth for a long, long time. So when God uses this same exact terminology, and he's applying it now not to physical rain, but he's applying it to the amount of prosperity that he will give to the people that obey God in the tithes and offerings. He says, I will throw open the floodgates of heaven. He said, go ahead. You can actually test me in this. It's interesting. This is the only place that I'm aware of. Maybe there's one that I'm not aware of. It's the only place I'm aware of where God actually says, you can test me in this area. Because I know it's freaky to you. I know it's scary. I know you're afraid that you're going to go without. But you're by faith. I obeyed. If I die, I'm going to die in obedience. If I starve, I'll starve in obedience. God's like, that's okay. You're obeying. That's good enough faith. I'll build you up from here. You can test me in this. I will provide for you. And then your confidence in me will increase as your provider. So he says, test me in this. I'm going to tell you, that applies to this age partially. That promise, but it mostly applies to the age to come. It mostly applies to the age to come. We are so focused on our little temporary life, and that's normal. That's what we're used to. But God, he sees we talked about seeing from God's perspective. Usually our perspective is we're focused on our 70, 80 years, right? And we're going, where's the prosperity? I don't have my mansion. He's like, you do have your mansion. You're a few years away from entering into it, but you got your mansion. You know what I mean? It's like, oh, I'm supposed to be open the floodgates of heaven. You know, where's my gold? Where's my cars? Where's my whatever it is? I don't know. Prosperity is so much more than stuff, actually, from God's perspective. But it includes stuff, and that stuff is real and it's yours. Most of it, some of it you'll get now. Most of it you get in the age to come. We're going to read this in the next passage of scripture. He blesses us. He provides for our needs for us now. And he even gives us more than we need so that we can be generous and be a blessing. Right? And he even gives us things like that we don't need just to enjoy because he's a good dad. Like he gives this girl yesterday a Cinderella doll. She doesn't need a Cinderella doll. But you know what? It's not hurting him to give it to her. And it brings her pleasure. And she's enjoying the gift from her father. Praise the Lord. You know, he does that for us too, right? In different ways. Then he says, verse 11, I will prevent pests from devouring your crops, and the vines in your fields will not cast their fruit, says the Lord Almighty. He's like, I will put a blessing on the money and the stuff that you do have so that the enemy won't come in and steal it. There'll be a supernatural protection over your stuff. Okay, that's what God's talking about there. So start with the tithe. It's like, how do I excel at the grace of giving? Start with that 10% and then start giving God offerings in addition to the 10%. Now we're going to read one more passage of scripture, 2 Corinthians 9. And we're going to talk about this one really focuses on the offering part, not just the tithe part. I want to tell you a story. Can I tell you a story from my own life about testing him in this? I told you before, even last week, I think, I was saved in an awesome church in Alabama where I got saved, Eastern Shore Christian Center, and had an amazing pastor, and he taught really well on the grace of giving. I mean, he had faith in this area. It was one of his big ones that he taught on a lot. And I'm so thankful because I was in high school. I didn't have a job. I really didn't have an income. But I was like, I can't wait till I have something to get in on this grace of giving. You know, I've got to get in. And so I remember I didn't have a job. I didn't have an income. And we had this missions banquet every year where they would we had the offering to give and make a missions pledge for the year to give to missionaries. And I had no income. But by faith, I'm like, I've got to be a part of this. So I was like, I pledge to give $10 a month. You know, that sounds like nothing. But for me, it was complete faith. Because I didn't have a job. I think I had an allowance or something like that. But I was like, Lord, I will give $10 a month to missions. And I was so excited. I just had confidence. God will help me do it. And he did. I went that whole year. He always provided. Every month, I paid my $10, and I was happy. It was like joy when I did it. I felt like I'm contributing to the advance of God's kingdom in the nations when I'd give my $10, and I really was. And that joy I was feeling was real. And then the next year came around, another missions banquet. And I'm like, you know what? God met my need. I didn't know how I was going to do that, but I just had confidence God would help me, and he did. I'm going to double it. And I was like, I think I want to try and double my missions pledge every year. And so I double it. And I was like, whew, $20 a month. I wrote it down, $20 a month. And I was like, wow, man, I'm really radical now. You know, that's how I felt. I'm like, oh, I'm on fire for God. I was so excited. And guess what? God helped me. I was able to give $20 a month to missions and even beyond that to other things. I was like, wow, you know what God did? He's like, go ahead, test me in this. And you know what? He provided not only my pledge, but he provided to, I gave other things even besides the $20 a month that year. I was like, wow, praise God. My faith, you know what happens? My faith was down here at first. I tested him. He came through. Faith goes up to here. Then I tested him again. Faith goes up to here. So the third year comes around, missions banquet. I'm like doubling it. I'm going 40. I was like, $40 a month. I was like, wow, that is so much money. But I did it. I wrote it down. I'm giving $40 a month this year. It was stretching me, but I was excited. I was kind of nervous, but yet this excited nervousness, you know? So I did it. And I remember something different happened that year that threw a quirk in my plans, a wonderful God quirk in my plans. I got engaged. I met my wife. And I go to Bible college. I had kept up, given my $40 a month. And I'm at Bible college. And I'm like, well, I meet this glorious woman. And she said yes, which made me really, really happy. God is blessing me with a virtuous woman, Proverbs 31. I'm like, thank you, God. Only now this wedding is coming up and a honeymoon and the expenses of like, I'm going to have my own house now. Now I'm going to be actually a provider for my household. And I remember I was like, I had these bills I had to pay off, and I was like, what am I going to do, you know? And I remember I was tempted. The devil came, and he put this thought in my mind. You know, this is the summertime, midway through the year, and he's like, you know what? Like, you've given $40 a month. It's not like this is an offering. This isn't a tithe. This isn't an obligation. It's you get to choose what to give. You've already given $40 a month throughout. So you could probably, God would understand. You didn't know when you made the pledge that you'd be getting married and meet your wife. I mean, you didn't know that. So things have changed. So you can just like not do that and, you know, do these other things that you need to do to get ready for being married. But I recognized the devil in the council. And I was like, nope, that doesn't sound like the Holy Spirit. That sounds like the devil. It's like, I'm going to be faithful. I'm going to pay my $40 first before I pay anything else for myself. The missionaries are going to be taken care of, even if I have to go hungry. I am not leaving them on that field without my $40. And so I gave it. And God enabled me. I actually paid off the whole $40 a month for the year. I did it in a big lump sum, and I paid it off early. Gave it to the mission, so it was in there early. And you know what God did? He blessed me like crazy. We got so much money given to us when we got married. Like, the people to give us cards were like, we're rich. Look at all this money. We had, listen. I was 20 years old. She was 19, and we owned our own home. God bought us a home. It was a trailer on our campus. It was a beautiful trailer, especially after she got done decorating it. She made it so, to this day, I wish I could go see that trailer. I have so many memories in that trailer. And it was wonderful. I'm like, I own my own home. We got married. Somebody gave us a deep freeze, and they filled it with meat. I think we had pheasant. I'm pretty sure. If not, we had all kinds of stuff. We had all kinds of meat. That thing was filled with different kinds of meat. And I'm like, I am abounding. I'm 20 years old. She's 19. We're college students that make $4.25 an hour working part-time 20 hours a week. And we own our own home. Like, how is this? I'll tell you how it is. Is that God made a promise that if you'll obey me in these things, he's like, see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven. And you know what? He threw open, to this day, he still throws open the floodgates of heaven for us. Like, God is really faithful. I would not ever want to live apart from functioning in this grace of giving, ever. Like, no, thank you. I have been in it now for over 20 years. I have tasted and seen this. Autumn and I live every year with supernatural provision. We are constantly doing things that at the end of the year, we look back and we're like, we lived way beyond our income this year. Last year, you know, we went to Europe on a missions trip. God gave us the trip. It was last minute. God brought it up. Somebody came up to us. Pastor who was going over there, he's like, hey, I think you guys should go with us. Autumn, it felt like it was on her heart for us to go. And he's like, we'd like to help pay your way. And we're like, okay, sounds good. When is it? It's about a month and a half away. We're like, okay, here we come. Thank God we already have our passports. Let's do this thing. You know what I mean? Like, God does that stuff for us regularly. And I'm not trying to say that to boast in us. I'm trying to say his word is true. I can bear witness. It really, really, really works. And you, many of you, have your own testimonies of supernatural provision. I would never want to live a lifestyle apart from excelling in the grace of giving. And I want to get better at it. I want to excel more. You know, Autumn and I, we love to do this, but there'll be different seasons where God speaks to her or speaks to me and he stirs us again. He's like, I want you to step out on the edge. We're kind of getting a comfort zone after a while. You know, we give this much and we feel good. And he's like, I want you to step out on the edge a little bit. I want to give beyond something that stretches your faith. It's good for us. We need that. And so she'll come and tell me, I feel stirred. We need to do this. And I'm like, let's do it. Come on. Because we've done this before and something amazing always ends up happening. So we get into a situation. I'll tell you another story. And then I'll get to 2 Corinthians. All these stories are illustrating 2 Corinthians 9. So, 2 summers ago, right? I don't know, 1 or 2 summers ago, I can't remember now. We have 2 vehicles. We have a car that was given to us, a wonderful car that had been a huge blessing to us for many, many years. We love this car. Got great gas mileage. And then we had the van. And my sister, who is an unbeliever, she doesn't know Jesus. And she's studying to be a doctor. She calls me up on the phone. She's like, man, my car just, she got in a wreck or something, totaled her car. She's like, I've got no vehicle. I need a vehicle really bad. I found this, but I want something that's dependable. And I found this one that I can get, but I need a co-signer. And she's like, would you be willing to co-sign? Well, I knew right away the Bible warns against that. So I'm like, that's not going to be an option. But I'm like, I tell you what, I said, I'm really super thankful that you called me and let me know about this. I was like, let me pray and talk to Autumn and I'll call you back and let you know, because we do want to be a part of helping you out. Even though I knew in my head, there's no way I'm co-signing. So as soon as I get off the phone, I'm like, Lord, what do you think about this? And this thought comes into my mind. I'm like, you know, there seems to be this grace upon Autumn and I for cars. We've had now 7 cars given to us over the course of our almost 19-year marriage. 7 cars given to us. We've given 4 away, and he's given us 7. And I'm like, we have this grace with cars. And I just have this, now I have this confidence. I'm like, it seems like I could just give her our 2nd car and God will just give us another one. I just felt like that because it's happened so many times. I'm like, I could just give her this car and then God would just replace it and he'll give us another one. I was like, but she's an unbeliever. She doesn't have this covenant relationship. So she doesn't have that grace on her. You know what I mean? So I was like, I could give her my car and God will give me one, but I don't have confidence that he'll just give her one. So I called her back. I talked to Autumn and Autumn was like, yeah, let's do it. She was really pumped about it. So I called her up. I said, listen, I've got a car for you. You can have it. She's like, have it? I'm like, have it. Just if you can get here and then drive it home, you know, it's yours. We'll sign it over to you. She was like, wow. She tells her boyfriend, who's also not a believer, and he goes, what kind of people just give their car away? This is what she says. She's like, they're Christians. That's just the way they are. I mean, they do this stuff. They're just the way they are. They're really generous. I'm like, that's awesome, isn't it? What a testimony. She proclaims to be atheist. Agnostic, whatever. But I don't, she's not really. I think that's just what she says. I don't think she really is. She believes that there's a God. But anyway, I love her very much. She's an outstanding sister. So she comes up and we give her the car and we, you know, we're just like, you know, God's going to take care of us. She's like, wow, thank you so much. So it's a Friday night right before prayer meeting. She leaves the next morning. We sign the deed or the title, whatever it is, over to her. As soon as we signed the title over to her, prayer meeting was getting ready to start. So Stan had showed up at the house and he was getting ready for prayer. We just finished like minutes before signing it over. Nobody knows about this because we hadn't been, I mean, it happened so fast. We hadn't told people, been telling people about it yet. Stan didn't know. He suddenly comes up to me right then and he's like, you know, I just felt like the Lord just spoke to me and told me to give you my car. So I'm like, really? He's like, yeah. I was like, did you know what we just did? He's like, no, what? What's going on? I'm like, we just signed her. I told him the whole story. He's like, cool. And he's like, and I felt specifically like God told me, you know, the phrase God used was, you know, to put my car at the apostles' feet. And so I was like, awesome. And so I went over to my sister. I was like, look what Jesus just did. Because you need to know there is a God. And she was like, wow. You know, it's such an amazing testimony. It's like, he knew nothing about this. He just came and gave us a car. She's like, wow. So he signs the car over and we had the car, but Autumn and I, we just felt in our spirit, like that car was not for us. It was given to us to funnel through us, that we were supposed to give that one away too. And so we're like, I talked to Autumn and she's like, yeah, I feel the same thing. I was like, let's do it. So we saw somebody in church that needed a car and we're like, here, have it. We gave it to them and they're like, wow. And they're so moved. Like God provided for me a vehicle. They're so excited. And we were so excited. We're like, praise God. He allowed us. He gave us a vehicle so that we'd have something to bless somebody else. I mean, he provides seed to the sower, right? 2 Corinthians 9 says that. And so we're like, thank you, Lord. We still need a second car though. Well, guess what happens? The one car we have left starts breaking down. I mean, like terrible, all over the place. Our van, you know, like flat tire, take it in. They do a patch, but it doesn't work. And I mean, over and over and over again. And we're like, Lord, you know, now our faith is being tested. Because like, this isn't the way it works, you know? Like we give a car away, you give us a car. But where's the car? And then not the one we have left breaks down. And we're like, Lord, what's going on? And it kept breaking down. We kept taking it in. We're like, we had to borrow cars from people. And I hate borrowing cars from people. But the Lord taught us. He was teaching us something during that time. A couple things. During that time, he's like, hey, you have never lacked the transportation when you've needed it. Yeah, you didn't like the way it came. You had to borrow it from another person and you don't want to put people out, you know what I mean? And people are so good to us and generous. Many of you we borrowed a car from at different times. And he's like, but that was my provision to you. I provided a vehicle in the moment when you need it, and you always had it. You've never lacked the transportation you need. And the Bible says that he gives us our daily bread. Now, daily bread, what we want is a storehouse of bread that we know it's going to be there for the next 30 days, right? But daily bread is when you need it, it's there. And so we named our van Daily Bread. We said, Lord, and the Lord was like, I want you to thank me and praise me for my provision, whatever it looks like, even though it's not the way you want it, you know, or you have the new van. And so we started doing that. We're like, Lord, thank you for our daily bread. You know, Carmen let us borrow her car again or whatever it was that Patty did. Lord, thank you for our daily bread. We have what we need today. You guys with me? And he did this in us for several months. And then my car kept breaking down, had to keep going to the mechanic. And he gives me a dream. And in the dream, he shows me that my mechanic needs to hear the gospel. That his heart is open. I'm like, oh, I'm like, let's get the gospel to this guy so I don't have to keep taking my car. And so we did. I went and talked to him. I was praying with him. I was trying to share the gospel with him. And I gave him, you know, talked to him several times about the Lord. And I'm like, good, praise God. And guess what? Our car started working. Like all of a sudden it was doing great. And like that van, I love Daily Bread. I love that van. It has been awesome for us. Well, then the new year comes and guess what? God gives us a new car. So we have a second van now. And that somebody just gave to us. And that's a miraculous story that I won't go into all the details. But the point is this, is like, test me in this is what the Lord says. The Lord is serious about providing for us. This is really true. And I could try to describe to you what it does in Autumn and my heart and our children. Our children have grown up in this culture. We've imparted this grace to them. When we get in a situation, we're like, well, we don't have it. Let's ask the Lord. And over again, stuff will come. He'll provide. Even stuff we don't really need. One time, my daughter really wanted to go to this movie in the theater. And that week, I'm like, you know, it was a really tight time. And we're like, we don't have it. You're going to have to ask Jesus. If he provides the money, you know, we'll take you. But you have to ask him. He's your source. Because we didn't have it. And you know what? God, that day, somebody came over to the house and they bought this old beat up, not beat up. It was a dead van, but they just bought it, gave us $100 for it. We're like, got the money, Abs, and so we went to the movie. And stuff like that has always happened. But what it does in our hearts is this. It's like we grow in, wow, God, you're real. God, you really do see me. You really do see the situations I'm in and the needs that I have. And you really do provide for me in these needs. And it's like our confidence in the God fathering us just goes higher and higher and higher. And then as we get into times where things are being shaken, do you know how valuable it is to have this confidence? Like, the economy is not my provider. My paycheck is not my provider. Jesus is my provider, and he's provided before when my paycheck didn't come in, and he'll provide again if my paycheck doesn't come in. Are you guys with me? The Lord is our provider. And how do we get this confidence in our heart? By entering into the grace of giving. This confidence is what grows in you as God comes through. All right. I got to work my way. I'll do quickly through 2 Corinthians 9. Paul says, remember this, a farmer who plants only a few seeds will get a small crop. Isn't that true? How many farmers we got in here? Nobody? One right there? Jeff Waldner's not here today. Stan's done it. I've done it before. Isn't that true? You plant a few seeds, you get a small crop, right? He says, but the one who plants generously will get a what? A generous crop. And he says, you must each decide in your heart how much to give. He's talking about offerings here. He says, and don't give reluctantly or in response to pressure. I love that. Don't let people manipulate you into giving. There's a lot of times, you know, where people have a wrong spirit and they'll take biblical truths about God's provision, supernatural provision and stuff, but they'll say, you know, the Lord told me that if you give to my ministry at this time, you got to do it right now. If you give, you know, $100,000, you're going to get the 100-fold blessing. If you give $50,000, you're going to get the 50 blessing or something like that. And they'll take these and in a wrong spirit, they'll kind of just pervert it for selfish gain. Does that make sense? So don't feel like manipulated. Don't give in response to pressure coming from a person like, man, if I don't give, then that means that I'm going to miss out. You know, this window for the 100-fold blessing is only open until midnight. And if I don't get my offering in, it's going to close. Oh, no. It's like, no. You know what? Listen to the Holy Spirit. The biblical principles of prosperity and blessings are real. They really are true. But we don't want to give in response to manipulation and pressure. Does that make sense? Now, listen. There is a pressure sometimes that comes from the Holy Spirit within. And your heart is pounding. And Autumn and I have had this many times when he says, give this amount right now to this person. And it's like, he does this on purpose at times to test our hearts. You know, it can be even small amounts. Like I remember like different times, you know, I'd be at a conference or something. I've already spent money to get to the conference. And I have a little bit of money left, and I'm really excited because I'm hungry. And after the service, there's this one awesome restaurant that I'm going to go out to. And then they take up an offering, and the Lord would prompt my heart, like, give that $20 in your wallet. I'm like, oh, that's my quesadilla burger. And but I'm like, no, and he does that. And it's like there's a, I want to obey, I want to obey. That's a good thing. That's coming from the Holy Spirit. We give, and he blesses us. Amen. I'll live without my quesadilla burger. He gives me quesadilla burgers many times over anyway, so God is good. Okay. For God loves a person who gives what? You put a smile on your face. Give with a smile. Give with a smile. God loves a cheerful giver. If somebody comes up to you, Carmen, I just feel like I'm supposed to give you this $20, I'm breaking over it. I'm hurting. I'm going to go without this, this, and this, but I'm going to be obedient because I love you. Honestly, like I imagine if it were me, Carmen's like, no, you know, it's okay. Keep your $20. Right? It's like, I'm not here to put you in agony. And it's like the Lord, you know, he's like, give with a cheerful heart. There are those times where we feel the I'm going to be without this. And we just give by faith and we give obedience. But you know what? Giving with a cheerful heart is a choice. It's a choice. I may feel emotions at the time I give of, I'm going to go without, it hurts, it's painful. But even though I feel those emotions, I can still choose to give the offering without complaining and with gratitude. Lord, it hurts. I'm scared right now. I feel like my faith is pretty weak. But thank you that you're my provider. And thank you for the opportunity to partner with you in the grace of giving. I choose to give this cheerfully in Jesus' name. Right? Okay. And verse 9. Oh, I'm sorry. Verse 8. And God will give and God will generously provide all you what? All you need. Then you will always have everything you need. And everybody say and. It says and plenty left over. Why? That's the covenant. That's the grace of giving. God says, You give cheerfully, so generously, and I will always provide everything you need. Now, you may have to borrow a car. It may be daily bread type provision, but he'll always provide your needs, right? But the rest is, and I'll always make sure that you have enough to be generous and share with others. Isn't that cool? You know, we were at a conference one time. This is in California. My wife and I were at a conference. And we were there, and this guy comes up to us, and he's just like, you know, I just felt like God's telling me to do this. I want to sow into you and what God's doing in your life. And he gave us, I think it was a $100 bill. He gave us a $100 bill. And we're like, hey, thanks. Praise the Lord. You know, we're at this conference. But both of us, we talk, we're like, wow, praise the Lord. Isn't that cool that God just gave us $100? But both of us felt, and we shared it with each other, I feel like this isn't for us, though. I feel like we're just to hold on to it. Let's not spend it. And let's see what God tells us to do with it. So we waited. And I think it was that night or the next day. We're going back to our hotel and we see this guy at the church, at the conference, and he needed a ride. And we didn't even know him. He was a stranger. But he went to the church there and he's like, hey, can you just drop me off at my house? And we're like, sure, we'll give you a ride. Well, while we're talking to him, he's like, yeah, he's telling us he's in ministry school. And he's like, I'm saving up to go on this missions trip to somewhere. I can't remember where it was. And as soon as he said that, Autumn and I are both like, that's who it's for. God gave us $100 to give this guy. So we're like, here. Gave him a $100 bill. He's like, wow, thank you. And you know what happens when he gets that? He's like, Jesus, thank you. You gave me this $100 through these people. And at the same time, we're over here saying, Jesus, thank you. You gave us seed so we'd have it to be able to bless this man so your work can go forward. So what does the gift do? The grace of giving. The fruit of it is multiple people giving praise and thanks to Jesus as the provider and needs are getting met. Isn't that cool? But what moved my heart is that wasn't God providing for our needs. That was him giving us extra so that we could share with others. Isn't that cool? It's just the scriptures being fulfilled. He said, and it says, verse 9, as the scriptures say, they share freely and give generously to the poor. Their good deeds will be remembered forever. Oh, I could camp on that, but I'm not going to. Verse 10, for God is the one who provides seed for the farmer, and then bread to eat. Seed is for what? Sowing. Bread is for what? Consuming. Right? God says, I'll provide both. I'll provide bread for you to eat to meet your needs, but I'll also provide extra seed so that you can sow and have a crop later and bless others with a crop. It says, in the same way, he will provide and increase your resources and then produce a great harvest of generosity in you. Yes, you will be. See, this thing, it isn't about us being rich primarily. It's about us becoming like Christ. This grace of giving is about us becoming generous like he is generous. Okay? He says, yes, you will be enriched in every way so that you can always be generous. And when we take your gifts to those who need them, they will thank God. Now, I love this section here. He says, so two good things will result from this ministry of giving. First, the needs of the believers in Jerusalem will be met because they were collecting an offering to take to people, the believers in Jerusalem. The second, they will joyfully express their thanks to God. as a result of your ministry of giving, they will give glory to God. So God's going to get more worship because of your giving. He says, for your generosity to them and to all believers will prove that you are obedient to the good news of Christ, and they will pray for you with deep affection because of the overflowing grace God has given to you. Thank God for this gift of giving. He's talking about the grace of giving. That's too wonderful for words. He brings so much good stuff out of this. He's like, first of all, when you give, they're going to have their needs met so they're not going hungry. That's a great thing by itself. But not only that, they'll get your gift and look to the Lord and give him glory and thanks for it. So worship will increase. Their faith in the Lord will increase and God will receive more glory. Third, you will give God glory because he was able to work through you to bless another person and God gets more glory. But fourth, he says, you've never met the believers in Jerusalem. He's talking about believers in Corinth. They're in Greece. You've never met the believers in the Jerusalem, and they've never met you, but because you cared about their, your brothers and sisters, and you gave to them, your heart and their heart is going to be connected in a supernatural way, and they're going to be like, these people in Corinth care about us, so you know what? We care about them. We're going to be praying for them. So this is all this good fruit, harvest of goodness and glory, a good fruit that God brings forth just from the gift of giving. Amen. So that's my grace of giving message today. We've talked about this before, but I just had it on my heart. I've been wanting to talk about it again. So there it is. Let's pray together. Actually, I just say this again. And I didn't actually plan this. It just worked out perfect though. We get to take an offering next week for Dave and Patty, which I'm so excited about. It's like they're adopting their fourth child from China. Is that awesome? I love it. God, may we have hundreds, yes, hundreds of adoptions in our own church and throughout the church of Huron. May we be known as a church in this city that looks after orphans. It's absolutely awesome. We have several other couples who are looking into adopting as well. Of course, Chad and Winter are in the final stages of their adoption process, and I love that. And so we actually started, the church did, an adoption fund where we set money aside just to give to people who are adopting children. So there's a couple last year, I don't even know where they go to church. I think they live somewhere at the Woolsey, but I just ran into them in town, and they're trying to adopt this child from Africa or whatever, and they are short on their money, and they're like, hey, our child's waiting for us, but we just need the money to get there. And I was like, hey, we have an adoption fund. And so we were able to give them like $500, you know, because we save money for that. But anyway, this is one of our own and right here. And so we just want to sow into that. And we're going to have a new brother coming into, he's already in the family, but he's going to be here for us to see and to meet in not too long. So pray about what God would have you do. So Father, we just thank you for the grace of giving. I thank you for the grace of giving. You don't need our money. You don't even need our participation. You can provide for the needs of the world by yourself plenty fine. But Lord, you choose partnership with your people. You choose to create an avenue, the grace of giving, so that we can partner with you. And so our hearts get connected to each other and all of our faith grows in the Lord and you get more worship and you do provide, but you include us in that process. And we say, thank you. And I want to thank you and give you all the glory for the blessing that the grace of giving we're already functioning in as a church, and for the blessing and the prosperity you've given to us as a church. I give you the glory for that. It's not us. It's not my leadership. It's you. It's your grace. We thank you for that. God, we also want to ask at the same time that you would take us to a new level. We want to go higher in the grace of giving. We want to partner with you and see your name glorified through the grace of giving. In Jesus' name, amen.
For more information about James River Church, please visit us at jamesriverchurch.com.